Day. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but there's a big problem with drugs in our country. And I'm not necessarily talking about illegal drugs. I'm talking about drugs that you get from the nutcases in the white lab coats that know better about your body than you do. We have to be careful, okay? Because just because it's lawful does not mean it's biblical, okay? And I'm not saying if you're taking prescribed drugs that you're sinning, but you need to consult God on those issues and see why you're taking them, okay? When my dad was in the hospital there right before he died, he was getting pretty bummed out about 2 weeks before he died. So what was the doctor's remedy? To give him a Xanax. Okay? The first night he started taking Xanaxes, he started seeing devils coming out of the walls behind the crucifix on the wall. And the next morning, everybody was in, was collaborating in a conspiracy to experiment on him. That's what he thought. And I mean, you should have seen his face. He believed that we were trying to kill him. From one day on a Xanax. Okay? There is an organization called CCHR, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. It happens to be an organization that was founded by the Church of Scientology, although they don't mix their religion in this. The reason they founded it is because the Scientologists, they don't believe in taking mind-altering drugs, okay? And back in the 70s and 80s, before psychiatric care became trendy to have a therapist or something like that, you know, there were some people, specifically a man out east, who immigrated to America. He was Bulgarian, and he immigrated to America, and he couldn't speak any English at all. And some neighbors heard him talking to somebody and thought he was crazy because they couldn't understand what he was saying. So they actually called the sheriff's department, and the sheriff's department sent the health department or somebody out to his house to interview the guy. And the next thing you know, they're throwing him in a straitjacket in a white van, and they take him to a mental institution where he sat for almost 12 years. Okay? And it was the Citizens Commission on Human Rights that heard about this, that was watching these things, and they decided to try to get this guy out, and they were successful, and they got him out. But he was permanently damaged from the drugs that they were experimenting on him with, because that's what they did while he was there. They used him as a guinea pig for different types of electroshock therapy and things of that nature. But that's a good organization. If you want to check them out online, they have really good documentaries about the pharmaceutical industry. Okay, and this is probably the only time you're ever going to hear me go to the Greek when we're talking about the Bible here and the Word of God, because it rings in my mind. But wherever you see the word sorcery in the King James Bible, the underlying Greek word is pharmaka. Okay? It's the root word of pharmaceutical. Okay? And it's not witchcraft. Witchcraft is witchcraft. Sorcery is different than witchcraft. Okay? And I wanted you to look at a couple passages real quick about sorcery. Okay? So if you would, look in Revelation 9 and verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Okay, this is what is going to be going on during the tribulation. These are going to be some of the biggest things that God is going to be judging the world for. Okay, look at Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is a white throne judgment. People are going to be judged for sorceries at the white throne judgment. Okay, now that's drugs. Okay? Drugs. That's what that is. Mind-altering drugs. Okay? And I just want to show you, because this is such a common thing. People, Christians nowadays are taking these medications like they're Tylenol. Whenever they get a headache, you know, they pop a Tylenol. Or whenever they feel depressed, they pop a Xanax. That is not how you're supposed to use these medications. These medications, if you happen to be on them, are not as needed. Okay? These medications, they're number one, they're addictive, but number two, when you come off of them, you have to wean yourself off of them because there's some serious side effects if you don't do that. Just a couple of common side effects, and I got this right off of Xanax, xanaxsideeffects.info, okay? And just some of the common side effects, okay? In many cases, the side effects of Xanax are temporary in nature and fade away after a few days. For some, the symptoms of side effects may persist and cause concern. In case the patients experience any bothersome signs taking Xanax, they must immediately check with their healthcare professional. Some common side effects include uneasiness, clumsiness, dizziness, lightheadedness, drowsiness, slurred speech, abdominal pain, cramps in the stomach. I mean, that's what a lot of this stuff is why they're taking it. And the side effect is what the problem that they're having. Must all also experience changes in libido. Okay? Constipation, diarrhea, muscle spasms, unusual tiredness along with weakness, dryness of mouth, increased thirst level, increased watering in the mouth. You know, some patients may have a false sense of complete well-being, feel trembling and shaking, and have problems with urination. Symptoms and side effects may occur one at a time, or there may be multiple problems. Those are the common ones, okay? Here's the less common ones, but the more dangerous, okay? Irregular heartbeat, anxiety, fast pounding of heart, may be common among older age groups and can be a cause for concern. Some patients feel loss of memory, while in some cases the patients tend to forget even after taking some other type of drug that uses the same ingredients. In rare cases, patients may experience delusions or may have false beliefs that cannot be changed even by telling the facts to the patients. They're living in la-la land. And that's exactly what was happening to my dad with one pill. Okay? It should have been a peaceful time for him. Born again believer, within 3 weeks of dying, it should have been a good time for him to be around his family and getting things in order. But it wasn't. It was terror to him. And it shouldn't be like that for a born-again Christian. Okay? Where was I? Some patients may have abnormal thinking or disorientation, experience unusual behavior changes, and feel agitated over trivial matters. Patients may behave aggressively and have frequent outbursts of anger. There may be instances of bizarre behavior, and the patients may experience hallucinations. The patients may see, hear, and feel things that are not actually present. In rare cases, some patients are found to be feeling unusually excited or irritated. It's been observed that the patients get skin rashes and itching after taking Xanax, unusual bleeding, bruising, ulcers in the mouth, and low blood pressure. That's just one of these pills can do this to you. Okay? And there's a documentary called Making a Killing, and it shows you how the FDA and the pharmaceutical industries are the same people. How they're on the board of directors for a big pharmaceutical company, and they lobby for certain legislation, and then when they're done being a board of director, they go and get appointed to the board on the FDA, where the millions of dollars of lobbying goes directly into their pockets. Okay? It used to be that a drug had to have 2 years of human trials and 6 months of lab testing. Now it's the other way around. 6 months of human trials. Two years in the lab and 6 months on people. Okay? They've turned us into the guinea pigs. Okay? So you got to be careful with these things. Some of these symptoms in... These are very dangerous to be given to kids, and a lot of kids are on them nowadays. Some of the examples are, every school shooting that has ever taken place, the child was on an antidepressant. Every single one. Every lone gunman that has been captured in this country in the last 50 years was under a psychiatrist's care and on psychotropic drugs, antidepressants, mind-altering drugs. Without exception, Columbine, both boys were on antidepressants. Both of them. You'll probably see it about Boston. They were probably under the care of a psychiatrist. The Batman shooter in Aurora, California was under the constant care of a psychiatrist. And he was on psychotropic drugs. Okay, so be careful with that, okay? The definition, if you look in the 1828 dictionary of pharmaceutical, it says, and he puts in here, to practice witchcraft or use medicine, poison or medicine, pertaining to the knowledge of or art of pharmacy or in the art of preparing medicines, okay? So there's a fine line in there between right and wrong with these pharmaceutical drugs, okay? And what's going on in our society today is that we've turned herbs into witchcraft and sorcery, and medicine is normal, okay? Which couldn't be farther from the truth, okay? There's some bad things that you can do with herbs, okay? Don't get me wrong, but there's bad things you can do with everything, okay? So that's just my two cents about... psychotropics, because I run into people all the time that are on them for no reason. You know, Jesus Christ is who they need, right? That's who they need. Exodus 19. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for your word. We pray you'll open our eyes and our minds to accept your words, to not have any preconceived ideas and judge them. Lord, we just pray for truth and knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, we're talking about rightly dividing, and we talked about the dispensation of promise, which covered the Abrahamic covenant, covered 430 years, and now we're going to be talking about the dispensation of law. Okay, everybody likes the law, right? It's a country of laws, right? It ought to be a country of grace, that's what I say. Okay, but we're going to talk about the dispensation of law today. It begins in Exodus 19. It ends at Calvary. If you would, look at Matthew 26, 28. Matthew 26, 28. This is where the dispensation of the law ends. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This is the Last Supper. Okay? The dispensation of law ends at the death of Jesus Christ, the death of the testator. Okay? Another passage, 1 Corinthians 11:25, that is the Lord's Supper. That's another, it's another example of when it ends. Hebrews 10:8-9, and Hebrews 9:15-17. That's a good one. Let's look at that one. Hebrews 9. We're talking about when this dispensation ends. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Okay? So this dispensation ends with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now back in Exodus 19. Now, a lot has happened since Abraham. The children of Israel were led out of Egypt. They are now in Sinai. And we talked about all of their blessings and how they were murmuring and how we murmur just like them, if not worse, and we've got something better than they do, according to Hebrews. Okay? But, so... They're up in Sinai, and Moses is going up. Moses is going to go up and talk to the Lord. Okay, and what you're going to find in this dispensation, and remember, the dispensations fall within the covenants, or the covenants fall within the dispensations, however you want to look at that. Okay, in this dispensation, you're going to have two covenants that are revealed here. In Exodus 19:5, you're going to find the Mosaic covenant. We're going to read that. And then in 2 Samuel 7:12, you're going to find the Davidic covenant. Okay? So this covenant is different, or this dispensation is different, because it reveals two covenants. Usually we've been dealing with one covenant in each dispensation. Okay? So let's take a look at the Mosaic covenant, Exodus 19. We'll start in verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Okay, so this is a Mosaic covenant. Now, this covenant differs from the preceding covenants, because most of the covenants have been unconditional with an individual. Okay, this covenant is different. This covenant is conditional upon obedience, and it applies to a corporate nation of people, not just an individual. Okay, it's revealed to a corporate body and not individuals like the preceding covenants. Okay, this covenant is different in that it has a written law. Okay, look at Deuteronomy 9. Deuteronomy 9, in verse 10, it has a written law. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. Okay, so this covenant, the rules and regulations of this covenant were written down. Okay, so those are some differences between this covenant and the covenants we've been looking at before, and this dispensation. Okay, now we're talking about the law here. Okay, that's what this covenant is about. It's about the law here. Okay, and the law can be divided into three categories, but all three categories are still the law. Okay. All three categories are still the law. There's many passages where the three different categories are referred to the law, okay, even by Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's all the law, because you have denominations out there that separate these categories and say that only certain ones apply, like the Seventh-day Adventist. They'll say that only the dietary guidelines apply and that the Sabbath applies. But that other stuff, you know, about taking the name of the Lord in vain, that doesn't apply. Okay? Loving your neighbor, that doesn't apply. Okay? Things of that nature. So there are people out there that will pick and choose, okay? But it's all the law. Okay? Now, why was the law given? Okay? Why was the law given? Look at Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20, verse 8. Why was the law given? I'm going to start in verse 8. The law was given because of Israel's disobedience. That's why the law was given. Look at verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do he shall even live in them. So that's a different take on why we got the law and why the Hebrews were brought out of Egypt, isn't it? Because God wanted to judge them. He wanted to judge them away from the Egyptians. Isn't it funny how he separated those two? He judged the Egyptians, he judged the Egyptians' gods, and then he pulled his people out, and then he judged them. Okay? So that's a different take on why the children of Israel led out of Egypt. Okay? Look at Galatians 3:19. Why the law was given. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Okay, so the law was given because of the transgressions of the children of Israel. That's why God gave the law. Okay? He wasn't just trying something out for man here. Okay? Now, the three categories of the law, okay, back in Exodus 19. There's three categories, and they can be divided this way. Number one, the moral law. You'll see that in Exodus 20, that's the commandments, okay? Number two, the civil or the social law, Exodus 21, 1 through 24, chapter 24, 11. Those are the judgments, and then you've got the religious law, Exodus 24, 12, all the way to chapter 31. So if you run across someone who says, I obey the law, you're messing with a liar. Okay, because number one, he's talking about the commandments, okay, and he's probably only picking one, two, or three, maybe four out of the commandments that he's going to obey or she's going to obey, okay? That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a liar, okay? They're not obeying the law. You've got how many chapters of law there? Exodus 20 through 31. Okay? 11-12 chapters there. Okay? Nobody can obey that law. You would have to be studying that thing on a daily basis. You wouldn't have time to go outside to Well, I guess you could obey the law because you wouldn't have time to go anywhere to disobey it. You'd be sitting there reading it all day long every day, knowing what not to do. Okay? So people do not obey the law. Okay? Now, let's talk about the law a little bit. Let's look at the duty of the law. Okay? Number one, look in Romans 3:19. This is the duty of the law. Romans 3:19. Romans 3:19 and 20, okay? Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay? So the duty of the law is to condemn and expose sin. So if you deal with somebody that says they're obeying the law, that's what you need to tell them. That's what you need to tell them. Okay? It's to condemn and expose sin. All right? What else is it going to do? Look at Romans 5:20. Duty of the law. Romans 5:20. The duty of the law. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Okay? The duty of the law is so that the offense would abound, so that it's made known, so that we know what the offense is. That's what the law does. Okay, that's the duty of the law, to let you know of your offense. That's the duty of the law. Okay? Now, one more. Look at Galatians 3. Oh, actually, two more. Look at Galatians 3. 3:13. The duty of the law. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The duty of the law is to curse. Okay? So if you're obeying the law, you're cursed. And you ought to know that, because that's what the law does. It shows you that you're cursed. Okay? The duty of the law is to curse. All right? Now look at Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The duty of the law is to bring us to Christ. It's a schoolmaster. Amen? Okay? So when you're dealing with people that obey the law, tell them they need to obey Christ. If they're not born again, they're not obeying the law. Period. Because the law brings you to Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. It's the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Okay? You'll find where Paul says, and I'm going to get to that, where Paul says that no flesh shall be justified in the law. But then he says they were justified by the law. Okay? Well, the two things, one's in a different chapter. He's talking about Old Testament. Okay? That's where we're getting at with rightly dividing. Okay, you got to be able to rightly divide. So, in one sense, no flesh is justified. Okay? But in the Old Testament sense, it was. Okay? It just wasn't an eternal justification like we have in Jesus Christ. Okay? So, we got to be able to rightly divide that, okay? So, that's the duty of the law, okay? Now, what is the deficiency of the law? The deficiency of the law. Look at Galatians 2:16, and this is what we were just talking about. Galatians 2:16, and I'll be done here real quick. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. even we have believed in Jesus Christ, there's a clue, okay, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Okay? Ours is through belief in Jesus Christ and his obedience to the law. Amen? Okay? That's where we get it, okay? So that's the deficiency of the law. It can't justify us. Okay? Galatians 3:11. But when Peter was come to... I don't think that's right. Galatians 3:11. Oh, I'm in 2. I'm sorry. 3:11. 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Okay, now that's the just shall live by faith. That's Paul's phrase. That's not Habakkuk, the Old Testament, where the just shall live by his faith. Okay, so it's different for us than it was for the Old Testament saints. Okay, it's too easy to see that. 2:4. 2:4, the just shall live by his faith. Okay? So, okay, the deficiency of the law is no justification. What's another deficiency of the law? Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. Remember, Paul is good doctrinal footing for the church. Good doctrinal footing. Romans 8 and verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Okay, so a deficiency of the law is that it's weak in the flesh. Okay? That's why when you get born again, your flesh is crucified. Because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And those that are born again are in the Spirit. Okay? You've got to understand that. All right? It's two different things. So that's the duty of the law and the deficiency of the law. And we're gonna go through the Ten Commandments a little bit next time, because I want to talk about that a little bit so we can understand this thing a little bit better. And then we'll get into the Davidic Covenant, and we'll go ahead and stop there for today. All right? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for your book, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, to have this book and to be able to get it in our hands and to read it and to understand it, Lord. And we just pray now that you'll humble our hearts, open our minds, and help us, Lord, to believe you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.